Hello there, football fans, and welcome in to That SEC Podcast, also known as Your Podcast, your one-stop shop for all the SEC football news you could ever dream of. I'm Cody McClure. I'm joined by Michael Bratton, as always, SEC Mike. Mike, my friend, what's going on, man?
Hey, it's officially Florida week, so I'm getting fired up. I'm getting death threats on Twitter. It's an exciting time to be SEC Mike, that's for sure.
Would it not be SEC Mike if you weren't getting death threats? I mean, this is that time of the year, right? I mean, this is what you do, man. You thrive on this.
This is why I got into this business, to just get anonymous death threats on a daily basis during football season. So, but that, you know, it gets me ready. I'm ready for it.
I hear you, man. I've had a few death threats in my day as well. It's always always good. Always good when fans from opposing conferences and fan bases and all that stuff want to drop a bomb through your window. They're really, really logical, nice folks out there. So anyway, hopefully we'll make it through the season without too many death threats. Mike, just to quickly recap week two in the SEC, what were some of your takeaways?
One thing that's really stuck out to me, you know, I kind of waffled back and forth on that Arkansas-TCU game. I thought TCU would win all week. Leading up to the game Saturday morning, I kind of flipped to Arkansas last minute. I just had a feeling that they'd show up to play. And so not a real surprise that Arkansas lost that game, but more in the fact that they were basically non-competitive in the second half. That was the biggest surprise for me. You know, Bielema's catching a lot of heat. He was very critical of his field goal kicker after the game, and a lot of the local fans there have been questioning why he would call out his players like that. I don't think it's right that to put him on the hot seat just yet. You know, there's still so much more season to go, and that program has shown some real progress under him, but it's a very, very interesting time in Arkansas. They have a bye week, and they have a critical Texas A&M game coming up in 2 weeks. So that's going to be a huge, huge game for him. The other big takeaway for me, you know, Notre Dame lost to Georgia at home. That was a big, big win. I didn't think that Kirby Smart and his crew had it in them, but that defense was just dominant. And, you know, as impressive as South Carolina's been this year, I tend to favor a good defense over a good offense any day. So I think Georgia, or it's admittedly early, I'll put them right up there with Alabama in terms of defense in the SEC.
It is very early on at this point. I said last week, and I'm sticking with it, I didn't think that I would take too much out of Georgia's game against Notre Dame. And I'm still not. I'm still playing that one kind of reserved, because I could very well see us looking back here in 6 weeks and saying, hey, yeah, they beat Notre Dame. That's a big name. Nice win for the brand. But, you know, I don't know that Notre Dame's going to be all that good. So either way, though, it was impressive to go to South Bend and to win the way that they did. That's big for Kirby Smart, because it's the best win that he's had at Georgia. I agree with you on Arkansas. I was surprised that Arkansas didn't play better than they did. And that game coming up between A&M and Arkansas, you got to think maybe the loser of that game, that coach probably, I'm not going to say that coach gets fired at that point in the season, might be a little closer to that happening with A&M because of Bielema's buyout and all that kind of stuff. But that will put the loser of that game in a very, very tough spot, I think, and they'll have a lot of pressure on them. But my main takeaway from week two was the Auburn-Clemson game. That's the one I was most excited to watch. And I thought Auburn played extremely well defensively. I know we've seen some comments the last few days from the likes of Paul Feinbaum and some other national folks who are saying, you know, this Feinbaum said that he was mortified by Auburn's showing. And, you know, I think maybe they do have some issues on the O-line. They obviously have to get something going offensively there at Auburn. But I think their defense looks really good. I think that defense can play with about anybody in America. So Auburn still would be my number two in the SEC, even after that loss.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not far from that either. You know, obviously it's not as popular if you don't have a hot take and don't kind of overreact to these early games. But, you know, I picked Clemson all week. I thought they would win that game. They clearly they did. And as you noted, you know, the Auburn defense was outstanding. I don't think Jarrett Stidham is, you know, he wasn't as bad as he looked in that game. Just I think a credit to Clemson and their defense is just, especially that defensive front, is just outstanding. You know, the receivers at Auburn didn't give Stidham any help. The running game didn't really get going. They got down in the red zone twice and couldn't punch it in. That really killed them. You know, with that defense, you know, if they can just get some momentum going on that offensive side of the ball, and they'll have some time. You know, they've got Mercer and Missouri and Mississippi State coming up, and those are their next three. You know, they should be a heavy favorite in all those games. I think by that time we'll kind of start to see the offense coming together. You know, everyone looks back at, you know, Cam Newton and what happened there with that Auburn team, but I think people tend to forget that even that offense started very, very slow. So, and even the Nick Marshall 2013 team, that it took to about mid-season for that thing to get going. So, you know, I'm definitely not ready to jump off the Auburn bandwagon. I think they just got beat by maybe one of the top two or three teams in the nation on the road, and they only lost by 8 points. So, you know, it's not time to hit the panic button yet.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. I mean, you've got to keep in mind, I know the amount of sacks they gave up. What was it, 11 sacks, I think?
Yeah, 11 sacks. It was pretty bad. The opening snap, I believe, was a sack, and the final possession was 3 sacks. So they were kind of in desperation mode, but, you know, that number is staggering. But it's, you know, it's not like they were getting after him all game, but I Stidham, he just doesn't quite look comfortable yet. But I think that'll come along as the season goes.
Yeah, and I just think it's important to remember the team that they lost to. You know, because I was talking about this a little bit earlier on Knoxville Radio and earlier today, and you talk about how it's not always you know, you're not going to get as many hits if you don't have a hot take. But I've always kind of been about honesty first. Like, I think audiences respect pure honesty more than they do necessarily a hot take. And I don't have a hot take on Auburn. I think that Auburn, as I said, I think it's still the second best team all around in the SEC, even if they do have some offensive line worries. Because you got to remember, when they get up in these games against SEC teams, when they play, if they have to play a Florida, or of course they do play LSU and Georgia, those teams are not going to put as much heat on them with their defense, I don't think, as Clemson did. And so I think Auburn would still be favored. I think I would like Auburn in just about any SEC game right now, other than if they played Alabama. So no hot take from me on that one.
Yeah, and one more, you know, I'm really looking ahead to the next week. I'm really excited about LSU. I like what I've seen so far. They obviously haven't been tested yet, but, you know, they haven't really seen competition that that could test them. So it's going to be a big week for them playing Mississippi State. I think LSU may have the best defense in the SEC. I think it looks that way based on who they're playing. So I think we're going to get a better indication of that this week when they travel to Starkville.
Yeah, that's going to be a really fun game to watch. And I think, you know, of course, we get into our predictions and all that stuff later in the week. But just initially on the surface here, I really like that game for Mississippi State. I'm not saying Mississippi State's going to win, but they were kind of my dark horse coming into this season. And I think Todd Grantham's got that defense playing lights out. Their running game has looked really good. I think Mississippi State is a solid football team. So definitely excited about that one this weekend, but we've got some other games to talk about this weekend as far as our week three betting line predictions. So I'll let you get started with that.
Yeah, so we emailed these lines to each other before the lines came out Sunday afternoon. And let's start with that LSU game, just so we've already got talked on it. You know, we both thought that LSU would be favored in this game. I predicted the opening line would be LSU minus 4, You said LSU minus 6, and it opened at LSU 6.5. So you were half a point off on that one.
Yeah, I've been so close on a lot of these with some half points and stuff. I don't know if I've nailed one yet, but I wasn't too surprised at that. I thought that was about right, about where it would be going into that game. So even with it being on the road, obviously, I think that'll be tougher on LSU. But 6 sounds about right to me, so not surprised to see it at 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, the stat you're going to hear, you know, ad nauseum this week with this game, Mississippi State has not beaten LSU at home since 1999. That's a pretty staggering stat considering they play there every other year. The big key for this game for me, you know, obviously Mississippi State's led by Nick Fitzgerald on offense. LSU's led by Darius Geis on their offense. So it's going to be a kind of a weird chess match to see which player, you know, obviously both defenses are going to key on stopping that one guy on each side. So I'm really interested to see what players around them step up, and I think that's going to be the key to this game.
This may be the game. Well, I'll go ahead and say it is the game that I'm most excited about this weekend. Obviously, more interest in the Tennessee-Florida game just because, you know, being a UT grad and all that kind of stuff, that's always a huge game. But as far as just a pure game that I think will really impact possibly even the Western Division, I think that's going to be a heck of a game in Starkville, and I expect it to be really close. So I'm excited about seeing that one.
Yeah, and if you're right on Mississippi State, if they're going to be kind of a spoiler team, they really need to get this one because the next two, they travel to Georgia and to Auburn in back-to-back weeks. So, you know, going into that, already facing a loss would be incredibly tough. On the flip side, LSU, if they get a win here, they play Syracuse and Troy before hitting another SEC team and at Florida. So this is going to be a huge game for both teams.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and call it now on Mississippi State. They're going to win one of those games. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but I think State's good enough. And again, we've only seen them play Charleston Southern and Louisiana Tech, so I don't want to get too high on Mississippi State, but I've just had a feeling this whole time that defense is way improved. So I'll go ahead and say I think Mississippi State gets one of those. I don't know if it'll be LSU, Georgia, or Auburn, but somebody's going to end up upset there, I think.
All right, the second game of the week that we'll talk about, Colorado State at Alabama. This is the highest line of the week. I thought it would be Alabama minus 30. You said Alabama minus 31. And it opened at Alabama minus 27, so just under 4 touchdowns there.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a Colorado State team that week zero, I guess, they handled Oregon State pretty well, then lost to Colorado. I think the fact that Alabama, I wouldn't say Alabama struggled by any means, but the fact that Alabama didn't just really beat the brakes off of Fresno State maybe caused that line to be a little bit lower. I think if Alabama had won that game 52-3 or 7 or something like that instead of 41-10, we probably would have seen this closer to where we predicted it at 30 or 31.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me, you know, they open with that huge game with Florida State and then immediately turn around and play Fresno and Colorado State. You know, I don't know how up they get for these games. You know, obviously Nick Saban's a master of getting his teams ready to go each and every week, but there's a natural letdown there. So, you know, I think if they wanted, they could beat this team by 100, but obviously that's not going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see what Mike Bobo has planned for his offense going up against Nick Saban defense. I think that'll be my main takeaway from this one.
Yeah, should be interesting to watch. I think Alabama will probably cover the 27. But, you know, it could be closer than we expect. But I think that's a pretty favorable line for Alabama. If I can get Alabama against a team that's not in the SEC and not in the Power 5 and you give me, you know, 4 touchdowns, I'm probably going to lean with Bama on that one.
All right, the second biggest line of the week. This was a tough one for me because I don't know a whole lot about Louisiana, and Texas A&M's been kind of rocky. Louisiana at Texas A&M. I thought the line would be minus 16 for Texas A&M. You said minus 21.5. And again, you're only half a point off here because Texas A&M opened as a 22-point favorite.
Really? Okay. Well, I hadn't even seen that one. I thought maybe it would be somewhere around there, around three touchdowns, because Texas A&M, yes, it struggled against Nickel State, as Georgia did last year. I think we all remember that one, week mm-hmm. one. But Texas A&M is the kind of team that they've got a high-powered offense when they want to against a team like this. You know, the system that A&M runs and the defensive talent that A&M has should be three touchdowns better than a team like the Raging Cajuns. So, again, you know, I think that's about right, about 21 points there.
Yeah, you know, I was just very surprised to see Nickel State actually, I believe the game was tied in the fourth quarter, but we've kind of seen that in the past from a Kevin Sumlin team. If they don't have the right pieces at place, especially a quarterback, you know, last year after Trevor Knight went down, it was a bit of a struggle late in the season. They lost to Mississippi State. They lost to Ole Miss. And they actually were in a dogfight with UTSA that they mm-hmm. ended up winning that game by 13. But and then I think back to the year prior, I think it was UTSA again. I could be wrong, but that was back during the Kyle Allen era. But they struggled. They beat one of those teams by like 6 points. So, you know, we've seen in the UCLA game, they got a high-powered running game. But if they don't have that right trigger man, that offense can really struggle. So I struggle to say that they're going to win by, you know, more than three touchdowns. That's kind of why I had it at 16. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I think last week, you know, they really got, I would imagine they got pretty embarrassed taken to the wire by Nichols. But they need to do something here before they play Arkansas, because if they play like that, I don't think they're going to win it.
Yeah, and I just have a feeling that Sumlin will have his team ready to go this week. Because this is the kind of game you need some momentum, as you said, going into that Arkansas game. And I think they'll have a much better showing than they did last Saturday.
All right. Now, next game up, we got Purdue visiting Missouri. This is going to be an interesting one. Missouri's already fired their defensive coordinator. I thought the line would be Missouri minus 6. You said Missouri minus 2.5. And it opened at Missouri minus 8. So I was closer on that one.
Okay, so Missouri minus 8 against Purdue. I'm guessing Vegas is really sold on the Missouri offense and Drew Locke in this game. The reason I thought it would be a little bit closer is just because of the fact that Missouri struggles to stop teams, and Purdue honestly has looked better two games into the season, at least than they did last year. They handled Ohio pretty well. And again, you know, it's Ohio we're talking about, but they've consistently been a pretty good team out of the MAC. So I thought maybe the line would be a little bit closer here.
Yeah, and, you know, went back and watched that Missouri game, a closer look on Sunday. You know, they were really in control of that South Carolina game into the second quarter. They were up 10-0. For some reason, people are still kicking to Deebo Samuel. He returned the kick. The next possession, Missouri throws an interception, and Deebo Samuel gets it on, a jet sweep, and he scores a touchdown. So they got scored on twice in two plays. They just never recovered. So, you know, they ended up losing that game 31-13. But, you know, I was impressed with them for a little bit. You know, the defense had completely turned around for the most part. Look, they were just embarrassing that Missouri State game. So, yeah, I don't know. I think this team on paper, on talent, should be able to beat Purdue by at least a touchdown. That's kind of why I was thinking the 6 point. But, you know, I think they'll miss an extra point. There he goes. That's the 6 right there.
Yeah. Well, hey, you might get it. I just think it's going to be a lot closer. And maybe it's the fact I just don't think Missouri's quite as good. I think if there's any team in the SEC that's a pushover, and there's really not, but if there is one, I think it's Missouri. Their offense, you know, I think people kind of freaked out after week one because they put up 815 yards. But, you know, Drew Locke in the last 2 years has made a habit of doing that against teams that are totally irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So anytime he faces a great defense, Not that Purdue has one of those, but anytime he faces a real defense, he doesn't do much, and Mizzou's offense doesn't do much. So I don't know. I tend to lean to this being a close game, but obviously you were a lot closer with Vegas on that one.
All right, now this should be an intriguing game here. Kentucky's traveling to South Carolina. I thought it would be a 7-point spread in favor of South Carolina. You said 9.5, and it actually opened a lot lower than each of us thought. It opened at South Carolina -5.
Yeah, but now I believe it's up to 7, right?
It is now at 7, yeah.
Yeah, I think the last I saw it was at 7, so a lot closer to where you initially, well, right exactly where you initially had it. Maybe, you know, the fact that it's moving up, it could even move up closer to where I had it. I think, honestly, that I was talking to a guy this morning about some of the bets this week that I might make, and that's one of the ones that I'm probably most confident in, is South Carolina covering 7 in that game, because Kentucky just has not looked the part so far. The struggle with Southern Miss, who doesn't have Nick Mullins anymore, and then to struggle with Eastern Kentucky the way that they did before they really decided to show up in the second half. South Carolina, just the total opposite so far this season. They get the game at home. I really like the Gamecocks by a touchdown, at least in that game.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is going to be a night game in Columbia, and they've already decided to do like the blackout. So, I don't buy too much into that, like helping the team, but I think that will fire up the crowd a little bit extra for that night. This has actually been a really good rivalry the past couple of years, Kentucky and South Carolina. So this could be an interesting game. I think South Carolina is one of these teams where, for whatever reason, the odds makers are kind of sleeping on them early in the season. I think later in the year they'll kind of regress down toward the mean because they don't have a very deep team. But at this point, they seem pretty healthy. They're kind of firing on all cylinders. Jake Bentley's, he's playing lights out right now. Debo Samuel, he may be the best receiver in the conference after 2 weeks. So, I look for them to likely win big in this one.
Yeah, Debo Samuel was my number one performer in the SEC over in week two. I can guarantee you Kentucky is not going to make the mistake of kicking off to him if they kick off any in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to at least once.
All right, now this is going to be a really interesting game, in my opinion. Kansas State, which is, I believe, ranked number 17 in the nation, traveling to Vanderbilt. I thought the spread would open at -3 for Kansas State, and so did you, -3. And the line opened at -3.5, so a lot of respect there for the Commodores.
Yeah, and I think we pretty much nailed that one. I've been surprised, to be honest with you, Mike. I've been very surprised we've been as close as we have on most of these. I mean, you and I have both been off on a few of them, but we've been pretty close for the most part. So maybe we should go to Vegas and be line setters. I don't know. How do you get that job?
I think we got to get in good with Brent Musburger and just figure out how to become the next Brent, you know?
That might be the way to do it. Either get in with him or like the mafia or something. I don't think the mafia runs Vegas anymore, though, the way it used to, like in the movie Casino. So, I'm not surprised to see it at 3.5. We both had it at 3, and I thought we nailed it, and we were pretty close. Could end up being right at 3 by Saturday.
Yeah, the only thing about this game, you know, obviously they look at the matchups more than anything, but you know, I often they look at home field advantage as well, and that's the one thing that Vanderbilt is pretty much lacking. I don't know if you've seen the crowds this year, but it seems like they've had under 10,000 people for one of these games. So I'm just not so sure that they're going to have a huge home field advantage for this game. If Vanderbilt wins it, I think there's actually a really good chance they're going to be ranked in the top 25 next week. So that's a pretty bizarre statement entering week three, but I'm not quite sure what to make of them based on who they've played. They've played well, but I think this is going to tell us a lot about both these teams, obviously.
Yeah, I think we'll learn quite a bit about Vanderbilt here because the defense, it's number one in the SEC right now as far as from a yardage standpoint. They've only given up 6 points all season. They haven't played anybody really. MTSU, pretty good, though. Stock still is a pretty good passer there. So for them to hold MTSU to 6, I thought was pretty impressive in week one. But, again, it's early. You finally got a real team coming to town, so I do think we'll learn quite a bit about Vanderbilt here. And you know, I just hate it for Derek Mason that they can't get a crowd to show up in Nashville, because what he's done with that program, being the guy after James Franklin, I mean, the standard was already set so high for Vanderbilt, you know, back-to-back 9-win seasons, and then to improve every year his teams the way that he has. This is the first time since Franklin was there in 2011 that they've started off 2-0. And so, you know, kind of sucks for him that they can't get a crowd in attendance. But if they keep proving themselves, you know, if Vandy wins this game, then it sets up a really intriguing matchup next week because, as you know, the CBS game's headed there for the Alabama game, which I say intriguing just because of that reason, because, you know, Bama's still going to win that game probably by 35 points, but it could make it a little more interesting.
It'll be the battle for the number one ranking.
yeah, exactly.
All right, one of the last games on our docket here, Ole Miss traveling to Cal. I'm running with my Rebs there. I thought the line would be Ole Miss minus 2. For some reason, you've not bought in yet. You've got Cal minus 1.5, and it opened up Ole Miss minus 4, so I got that one again.
Ah, man, yeah, you and Vegas, you just keep buying Ole Miss. I'm not gonna buy in until I see something real. The defense gave up 27 points to South Alabama, and then last week they gave up 23 to Tennessee Martin. Cal's gonna put up 45 points on that defense. I know Ole Miss's offense is great, but Shea Patterson, he'll come to play. He's a heck of a quarterback, I'll give you that. But they got some great receivers. But I can see Cal putting up a whole lot of points on them. The more I think about this, Mike, what have you – the bet here, have you seen the over-under? Because I haven't even looked at it. But I now that I got to check into that after we finish this podcast, because that may be one of the best bets of the week. But anyway, you know, I'm not surprised to see that Ole Miss is favored, but that's a long trip out to Berkeley.
Yeah, and it's you know, there's obviously a lot of going on the side. There's the NCAA hearings going on right now, and strangely enough, in Kentucky. But that's Ole Miss and the NCAA are meeting there. The head coach Matt Luke is actually there, so he's not even in Oxford helping his team prepare. I mentioned that because I tried to watch the Matt Luke press conference today, and instead of Matt Luke, it was the defensive coordinator. And someone was asking him, you know, I think they've got the number one rated pass defense in the SEC right now, if you look at just pure yardage. And they were asking him about, you know, if they take pride in that. And he simply said, we've got the number one pass defense because everyone's running on us and we can't stop them. So he wasn't backing down from that.
Yeah, no, at least he showed up. You know, and maybe that's a decent matchup for Ole Miss, because Cal typically likes to throw the ball around, you know, but at the same time, I think Cal will find a way to get things going offensively in that game. So definitely interested in that one to see how many points are on the board. Have you seen the kickoff time for that game? I don't have it in front of me, but is that going to be a Pac-12 after dark kind of game, or will it be earlier in the day? Do you know?
It kicks off at 9:30 Central, so 10:30 Eastern time. So that's going to be a late game.
That's going to be a wild game. I can already see it now at 2 a.m. It's going to be 2 a.m. and it's going to be going to the fourth overtime, and it's going to be 63-70.
Well, that's why I went with the two, because that, you know, those are the ones where it goes into overtime, and they after the second overtime they have to start going for two. So I envision this going into multiple overtimes, and the game ends on a 2-point conversion fail. So there was my 2 points right there.
You put a lot of thought into that one.
And of course, Ole Miss is going to win it.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, the last game of the week, the most intriguing probably for multiple reasons, Tennessee at Florida. I thought the line would be Florida 2.5. You said Florida 3.5, and this kind of blew my mind when I first saw it, but it opened at Florida -8.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by that, and it has gone down significantly. I haven't seen it in the last few hours, but it was at 5.5, I think, this afternoon. Uh-huh. And that's because I assume all the drama surrounding that, as far as when will the game be played, where will it be played, how will it be played. It's scheduled right now for 3:30 Eastern on CBS in Gainesville, but a lot of question marks still surrounding that game, and I think that's really going to affect that line.
Yeah, I just can't wrap my head around, you know, giving touchdown more than a favorite when we've only seen him play once a couple of weeks ago. You know, I think that kind of speaks to just how much Tennessee has struggled in this game and how their offense has been largely unimpressive this week. I mean, outside of, you know, the nature of the uncertainty of the game, could you imagine Florida opening with 8 points on their side?
Because it's Florida, Tennessee, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't be shocked, because you know as well as I do how that series goes, especially in the swamp. But I don't think Florida should be viewed as 8 points better than Tennessee. That's a team that hasn't even scored a touchdown yet this season. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Tennessee's averaging 42 points a game. So, which, you know, I get it. The numbers are kind of skewed. Florida played a pretty good Michigan defense, and Tennessee played Georgia Tech and Indiana State, who weren't great defensively. So, big difference there. But at the same time, you're going to take a team to cover 8 points that hasn't scored a touchdown. It is a bit puzzling to me.
Now, I still kind of hold pretty firm that I think this game is going to be played in Gainesville. What if it were moved to another location, how much do you think that affects the spread in your mind?
I think if it were moved to Atlanta, which I believe would be the most likely scenario at this point, if the game moves to Atlanta, I see it going down to about 3.5 to 4.5 in Florida's favor. I think we'll be right on it, the spread, pretty close. You know, they're going to be looking at it as probably a 24-21 or 21-17 type game, I think. So I think it'll be right at between 3.5 and 4.5.
Yeah, and that, I mean, there's going to be so many logistical issues with such a thing. You know, they got to figure out, you know, getting these tickets to Florida people and how soon they can get them to Tennessee people. How they may have to wait to make sure that Florida people have the opportunity, but those people may not even be at home at this point, you know, with all the hurricanes. So this is just going to be a weird couple of hours here coming leading up to an official decision, likely Tuesday.
Going to be interesting to see how that impacts this game too, because it's always such a weird game anyway, really. You know, last year Florida gets up 21-3 at the half. Tennessee scores 38 unanswered. The 2 years before that, Florida comes back down double digits in the fourth quarter each time, won those games by 1 point apiece. So this is always a weird one. It's Tennessee, Florida. It's going to be wild. I think it's going to be close regardless. You know, honestly, Mike, I don't know what to think about this one. If there's one game this week that I'm scratching my head, I usually feel this way about the Tennessee-Florida game. So I have no idea what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we only have one game to go off of Florida and two against Tennessee against somewhat unconventional opponents. So, you know, kind of hate to keep saying the same thing, but there's just a lot of unknowns for this game, and could go either way. I could see Florida. The only thing I couldn't see happening is Tennessee blowing out Florida for whatever reason. I could see Florida blowing out Tennessee. I could see Tennessee winning a close one. I could see Florida winning a close one.
Well, that's just because we've seen the way this game's turned out for the last 12 years. So you definitely don't expect a Tennessee blowout. But I will say, you remember last year, you had different concerns And it was a different team because you knew Tennessee was going to be really talented. But coming into the Florida game, a lot of people were really down on Tennessee because of the way that they had struggled against Ohio. They had struggled against App State, ended up beating Virginia Tech pretty good, but they had struggled early in that game. Mm-hmm. And it kind of had a similar feeling coming in. And then Tennessee really turned it on. They found a new level in the second half of that game. So I'm just really intrigued by how this one plays out. Lots of uncertainty in that game. I hope we know more about it. We should, by the time we record our next podcast, we should at least know, hopefully, where the game's going to be played. So we'll be able to talk more about it later in the week. Mike, anything else before we get out of here?
No, just looks like I won this week. I got four right. We had a push on the Kansas State Vanderbilt. You got me on three. So, you know, it's always good to do one of these and leave victor.
What happened last week? Are we? I haven't even kept up with who's winning at this point.
I think you got me last week, so we're tied at one.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, we'll see how it goes. Next week, my plan is to be just as close on these again. Like I said, I think we're doing a pretty good job with this so far. So we'll let the audience and the fans be a judge of that. But I feel good about it. So
yeah, me too.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, folks, for Michael Bratton, I'm Cody McClure. This has been That SEC Podcast, episode number 10. And we will see you in a couple days for episode number 11. See ya.